Okay, so thanks for the introduction and thanks for the organizers. Our concern in this talk is with MHD, sorry. Okay, MHD dynamo, named magnetic hydrodynamic dynamo. So it's a bit different from what I previously have done. But if you consider electrically conducting fluid flow, so the fluid flow motion is governed by so-called MHD equation, which has some extended form of Navier-Stokes equation. So what is special in MHD equation is that in the equation, velocity fields and the magnetic fields are completely entangled. For example, magnetic fields are convected by velocity, fluid velocity, and magnetic field cause Lorentz force momentum. So a magnetic field change velocity, and the velocity also change magnetic field. So if we can find some nonlinear state in MHD equations, this means that possibly the states can exchange kinetic energy and magnetic energy. So like as a huge mechanical dynamo, and such a state is called MHD dynamo. Since such states have lots of applications in, for example, engineering or astrophysics, probably we have already seen previous talks that some astrophysical objects like flows around the black hole or planet produce some magnetic fields, and some astrophysicists believe one of the candidates for that phenomenon is MHD dynamo. So there are lots of work in this field of research, but the one we will investigate here is one of the specific type of dynamo called where we call self-sustained dynamo. And the definition is that nonlinear state, we consider nonlinear state of MHD equations, which can be driven even at the linearly stable state. So the situation is very similar to the subcritical transition of purely shared flow. And we also assume that there is no external magnetic field. And this is called zero net flux dynamo. So the state we consider is only purely driven by shear. And if we impose some initial magnetic field or something, so we possibly so the magnetic field can be sustained. Actually, I just begin this work, so there's no numerical analysis. So in the following part of the talk, I just discuss about what is the possible asymptotic limit of the MHD equations concerning the self-sustained dynamo state. So the mathematical theory we use is quite a classical one. Namely, we define small parameter epsilon by using a Reynolds number, which is assumed to be very large. And we expand all physical quantity in epsilon. So then we can plug in the expansion into original equations, and we can sort out the equation to find the leading order equations. And the solution of leading order equations, of course, give leading order expansion in the, leading order coefficient of the asymptotic expansion. So, but idea is quite simple, but in order to apply this methodology in fluid dynamics, there's something complicated happen. But because we know that there's very sharp structure appear in large Reynolds number flow. So mathematically, the reason is this is a singular perturbation in the sense that at the large Reynolds number limit, we lose the highest order derivative. So the, possibly there are the, several singularities in the limit, and the singularity is sometimes called very sharp structure. So when sharp structure appear, so we will use the static coordinate to normalize the sharp structure. So for example, if y is a usual usual scale, if there's a sharp structure, this means that y is small. We need to look at the structure in very small y. So if we divide this by some epsilon to the some power, positive power, so we can normalize, we can create a normalized coordinate, which is order one in Reynolds number. So typically, such sharp structure appear in near the boundary. So because if we consider implicit equations, we cannot satisfy boundary conditions. So we need some boundary layer. Or even inside of the fluid, there's sometimes there's a singularity, and probably the most famous one is a critical layer. So we have a separated problem in several asymptotic regions, and in order to connect them, we consider matching, namely the behavior of the small scale states to, for example, large y infinity should be consistent with the behavior of the outer solution. And in this way, we can create a closed system which do not contain Reynolds number. So let me again highlight about the some sales points of this methodology, because in some sense, this is our concern is some reduction of the equations, but there are several particular special properties which cannot be found in usual reduced equation or some model equations. So probably the most important point is that there is no artificial assumption to neglect terms in Navier-Stokes equations, because we simply substitute asymptotic expansion and neglect a small term in Reynolds number. And there's no tuning parameter, so in the sense that all coefficients in asymptotic expansions can be found by solving leading order equations. So by solving the equation, we can find U0 here. And if the Reynolds number is sufficiently large, so the rest of the terms can be neglected. So we have a prediction for wide range of Reynolds number towards Reynolds number infinity. So in other words, for any model flow, you can substitute the model flow into Navier-Stokes equation and estimate the residue. But it's normally possible to know how large it is a priori. But in this methodology, we know that this has a very small value in terms of some power of Reynolds number. Okay, so and there's no Reynolds number in the reduced system. So this means that once we have one solution of a reduced system, we have estimation for very large Reynolds number. So we don't need to solve the problem in each Reynolds number. Okay, so so of course the theory is very classical, so it has a long history. So for example, we can find Lin's paper for linear linear theory of DS wave, and actually it has a very good agreement for Heisenberg linearized Navier-Stokes computation. And actually, for linear setup, the asymptotic analysis is not so uncommon. But for nonlinear setup, the theory, in order to consider the theory, we need to consider very complicated equations, and it's very difficult. But so these are some list of self-consistent asymptotic analysis known in nonlinear, nonlinear theories, list of nonlinear theories known in purely hydrodynamics area of research, or it's just an advertisement of my research. But anyway, the important thing is that there are several possibilities of in choosing J or K in the theory. And actually, this is the most difficult part in considering such a theory. But there are multitude of the possibilities. So at the first glance, it's not clear what that means. But recently, it became clear by Holland, for example, Holland Sherwin or some other works that the theories excellently predict the behavior of exact coherent structures or recurrent solutions or, I don't know, invariant solutions or whatever. So as we have seen in previous talks, recently dynamical systems approach is quite an active area of subject in shear flow analysis. So this is one of the famous pictures taken from Kawahara and Kida. So what they showed is, the lead trajectory is a periodic solution they found, and they compare it with a turbine trajectory, which is shown by green. And they observed some reasonably good agreement between the two. So if we so the Reynolds number they choose is quite low, and for higher Reynolds number, there's I believe some of you have a more sophisticated picture about the phase space of turbulence. But so what was found is that equilibrium solutions are distributed in turbulent trajectory and play some important role. So if one believes such a picture can be valid for larger Reynolds number, so it seems to me that asymptotic theories for equilibrium solutions are quite important in understanding some high Reynolds number turbulence. Okay, so what we concern is VWD SSP type structure. Yes. So recently, these theories are much concerned in purely hydrodynamics area of research. And both of the theories concern how the streamwise vortices are maintained in fluid flow. Because if we just consider streamwise independent flow, there's no energy input. So this means that we need some energy. We need to put some energy through the Reynolds stress term, which is possibly from self-interaction of streamwise dependent part of the flow. Since Hall Smith called the streamwise averaged flow as a vortex, and streamwise fluctuating flow as wave, so that's because they called the theory, their theory as a vortex-wave interaction. and subsequently independently while it's considered the very similar interaction. So these are the key sketches of these theories. This is some sketch of coherent structure or in, for example, plane quad flow. So we have a streamwise independent flow. And what they showed is if we consider a streamwise wave, so it satisfies the implicit equations, and the implicit equations has a critical layer where the equation becomes singular. And they found that the Reynolds stress from the wave to the vortex is concentrated in critical layer. So effectively, because at the asymptotic limit, the thickness is very thin. So effectively, it produces stress jump across the critical layer, and it drives the vortex component. And in Varev's picture, he further decomposed, he called a streamwise part of the vortex component as a streak, and the streamwise vorticity part of the vortex part of the vortex component at the road. So the Reynolds stress concerned in VW approach corresponds to the feedback of nonlinear surface interaction shown in the wireless picture. So a streamwise role created. So I'll explain this later. So this looks very similar, but actually it is a bit different because if we look at Holland Smith's paper, you will find that the equations are very complicated. So all complications happen because they consider critical layer. So, and this is actually self-consistent asymptotic analysis I mentioned earlier. And in order to maintain self-consistent property, the analysis of critical layer is inevitable. And that's because that theory looks very complicated. On the other hand, in the SSP approach, so what is shown is the simplest and beautiful picture of interaction, and probably this is sufficient in understanding sustainment mechanism and physical mechanism. But if we want to understand about the Reynolds number dependence of the flow, so we need to do asymptotic analysis. In MHD, some similar interaction has been concerned because we know that this picture is produced by Cambridge and France group. In the magnetic MHD equation, we can show that streamwise independent flow cannot be sustained. So this is one of the restatement of the famous Cowling's anti-dynamo theory. So what they consider is that there should be some variation in streamwise direction in the flow in order to create some dynamo theory. And they actually found some solutions by using Newton's method. So what they consider is some plane quad flow or some sharing box computation. And in their case, they applied the system rotation because their main interest is some astrophysical flow. So they apply Keplerian. They consider some Keplerian rotating flow. And what they considered is actually zero net flux dynamo. So there's no external magnetic forcing. So the, since the, we know from Rayleigh's criterion, Keplerian flow is linearly stable. So this is one of the examples of the self-sustained zero net flux dynamo. Okay, so let's begin with some analysis. So this is the MHD equations. V is velocity, B is magnetic field. And I consider with the whole term. So I don't know, I wouldn't explain this in detail, but usually this term is neglected in MHD analysis because the coefficient, whole coefficient H is very small. But I'll show that this term is quite an important role in considering self-sustained dynamo. So this is some non-dimensionalized version of equations. And we assume that basic flow is just a linear shear, like a Plenkett flow or shearing box. So that non-dimensional parameter RPA in the equation is Reynolds number and magnetic Prandtl number and some whole parameter where PM and H are determined by the property of the fluid. Okay, so now decompose. So now consider some asymptotic expansion. So these parts comprise. So here, U bar and U tilde are function of Y and Z. And this is the only dependence in streamwise direction. So this means that the first part comprises a vortex part of the vortex component of the flow, and the second part is the wave part of the flow. So these are, so if we adopt the same terminology, Rolle streak wave terminology for magnetic field, so this is streak, so this is a magnetic streak. I use UVW for velocity and ABC for magnetic field. And A is a streamwise component, so this is a magnetic streak. And these are roll and magnetic roll. And this is a magnetic wave. And yeah, so at first glance, it looks complicated, but if we set, so here I assume the Prandtl number is one or larger. But if you set the Prandtl number to be one, so this is just a standard scaling in VWI. So these are what we get. So these are some vortex equations can be which can be derived from streamwise averaged part of the equations. And this is driven. So the left-hand side is just Adamovskian diffusion equation. So we need some energy input, which is at the right-hand side. So these are lift-up effect. So basically, roll component drive the streak. And F1 is some Reynolds stress term. And this drives the wave. So these are from self-interaction of the wave. So wave drives the roll. And actually, we can show that there's no leading order Reynolds stress term in magnetic equations. So the first equation is the momentum equation, and the second equation is induction equation. So F2 acts diffusion of magnetic roll. So we need F2, but F2 is only appear when we consider whole term, where H0 is some rescaled whole parameter. And we can show that wave equation can be reduced to this form. So this is some two-dimensional generalization of the alpha wave equations. And of course, we neglect a magnetic streak. This is just a Rayleigh equation concerned in usual VW theory. But if there's a magnetic streak, it changes the property of the equation. More precisely, we can show that this equation becomes singular when lambda defined this quantity vanish. So if ever, magnetic streak is absent, there's only single singular point. But if there's a magnetic streak, the singular point split into two. So there are two singular points associated with U plus A bar equals L and U minus A bar equals L. So where U bar is effectively the value of the streak minus some phase speed. But in any case, there are two singular layer. So these are essentially the critical layer. But in MHD flow study, it's also called the resonant absorption layer, and sometimes concerned in solar physics. So we can know from these works that the property of singularity there and can explain some jump across the critical level, like this. So clearly the situation is very different from usual VWI. And one of the properties that the lower component is forced both, in fluid core and jump across the critical layer. So this is quite different from usual VWI because in VWI, the flow is only driven by the stress jump. So there's no forcing outside of the critical layer. So indeed, we can consider the situation where these two critical points coincide. So in that case, we can actually recover the very similar situation as the VWI. So in that case, there's no forcing outside of the critical layer, and the jump takes some complicated form. Okay. So we need a whole term in order to drive self-sustained dynamo in order one wave numbers, but we can show that we don't need that term if we consider very long or very short wave numbers. But I'll skip this. I don't consider about the effect of rotation, but we can add some effect of rotation by adding a Coriolis term in momentum equation. So this is picture what is happening in Reynolds number and omega, which represents Coriolis force. So what is concerned numerically is Kepler rotation where omega equals 4/3. And we can show that there's the flow is centrifugally unstable in omega is 0 to 1, so in this range. So the Kepler rotation is centrifugally stable. And omega equal 1 is a so-called Rayleigh line, and omega equal 0 is, of course, just a Frankfurt flow, non-rotation limit. So we can show that we can only consider the same theory when the omega is very small. So unfortunately, a VWI-like state I've considered cannot be extended to Kepler limit. But if we consider very short wave number flow, so there's a possibility to cross the Rayleigh line. So this is similar to the stratified case. I think it's presented in Ritschke as well. So omega is some similar parameter as the Richardson number. So if we consider VWI, we can only maintain the flow at a very small number of Richardson number. But if the structure of the coherent structure is very small, there's a possibility to reach some Kepler limit. And of course, this limitation is from a Reynolds number. So if the Reynolds number is order one, we can consider the asymptotic limit in, for example, magnetic Reynolds number very large. And this is quite consistent with the numerics because these groups have been observed is that it's very difficult to continue the solution in very large Reynolds number. So this is one of the picture they showed. So green and blue lines are computed in different magnetic Reynolds numbers. But if we look at the solution curve in Reynolds number, it seems to exist a certain random Reynolds number. And it seems to me that it suggests that Reynolds number should be order one when we increase the magnetic Reynolds number in this type of coherent structure. And certainly it's consistent with the theory. Okay, so these are the conclusions. So thanks for the attention.
Questions? It's very interesting. When you add rotation, you would expect to get a contribution to the electromotive force from the perturbations. But are you saying that you can't add enough rotation to get that in your theory?
Yes. Except for very short wave case. So it's purely from the balance in the rotation, Coriolis term and the other term. So if we consider VWI or SSP, we consider balance of the advection term and the viscous term in the asymptotic limit. So if we consider balance of V, so V should be R minus one. So if we want to balance this term and this term.
I'm more interested in the balances in the induction equation. So when you had the induction equation before.
I didn't consider.
You just had it. Yeah, here. So your F2 is.
So there's no rotation of F2.
Yeah, there's no rotation, but there your F2 is made up of just contributions from the bars, right? Is that right? F2 just has bar variables in.
Yeah.
And usually when you have rotation, you expect the other variables, the perturbations to come in. So what, are you saying that when you add rotation?
So that's, I guess this is some indirect effect.
Some what, sorry?
I guess this is indirect effect rather than direct effect. So namely, you can't have omega in induction equation.
No, yeah, that's right, it's an indirect
effect. Yeah, so that's what I said. So what I said is that, it's not possible to have a forcing from a fluctuation in induction equation. So there is contribution in higher order term, but what I said is there's no contribution in leading order.
Okay, thank you.
Daniel Lequine, Princeton. So so here you showed the leading order equations. How do you get the fluctuations to get F1?
No, the equation is fully nonlinear. Sorry, is that what you asked? So this is from wave. So if we write, if you decompose the flow into streamwise average field and some Fourier mode, one Fourier mode. So you can have self-interaction of e to the I alpha x and its complex conjugate, namely e to the minus I alpha x, and these two interact to produce mean flow, some forcing in mean
the leading order term for the fluctuations is the subscript 1.
Sorry, maybe it's difficult to distinguish, but this is tilde. Maybe, so this is the same as.
Okay. I think your long wavelength analysis should be very similar to analysis done by Braginsky a long time ago. You might like to look at those papers.
Oh, really? So yeah. I didn't know that. So in his case, yeah, it's possible that somebody has done similar work, because this case is very, so in his case, the order of stream-wise scale is consistent with
Yeah, it's different. He's in a spherical geometry, so it's a bit...
Okay, yeah, that's
so
interesting.
It's not the same.
Yeah, thanks.
Further questions?
Yes.
Hi, Carlo Corso from CNRS IMHD. At the end, in your final slide, you say that something cannot be applied to the astrophysical regime.
So as far as I understand, in astrophysics, what is interesting is some Keplerian flow and with a very small magnetic Reynolds number. But it's not possible to create the theory for small Prandtl number case. So this is what I would like to mention.
Small Prandtl numbers?
In Reynolds number. So yeah, I'm not sure. So since the Prandtl number is determined by fluid property, so even when the Prandtl number is 10 to the minus billion or something, so this is the order one quantity in asymptotic analysis. So if we can set Prandtl number to be order one, so it's possible to create some theory. But if we consider Prandtl number is some, for example, R minus one or something, it's not possible to consider theory. So it's either.
OK, no, but we can discuss it. Thank you.
Other questions? I just have a high-level question. At the beginning, you distinguished between self-consistent asymptotic theory and SSP-type physical description. And then in one of your slides, you had, I think, were these two alternative SSP theories for MHD dynamos? Can you find that slide?
You had, so which slide?
Before. It was back a little ways. Right, you went past it. Yeah, here. How do your results relate to, do they disprove or support either of the, are these complementary proposals? One to the left.
What they showed is the explanation of this regime computed in very low Reynolds number. So the regime I'm concerned in this talk is a bit different, because I take a large Reynolds number limit. And what I think is the reason why we cannot have a dynamo in large Reynolds number limit is that we lose feedback from.
I see.
So that's because I had a whole term to maintain the dynamo. So.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions? If not, let's thank Kengo again.